Hello, everybody. My name is Mahoun, and this is Mahoun's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 18th August, 2020. It's a new week, and there's not much going on, but we have plenty of new devices to talk about. Some pretty hot news, and Fortnite's off the App Store? Is Apple being anti-competitive? Well, find out more. We're going to talk about this towards the end. But first, let's talk about Realme's new smartphone that they've just released. God, is it me or Realme have been pumping out phones? Like, there's probably one every few weeks, pretty much. Like, they're not coming slow. Like, every 5 weeks, pretty much, or 6 weeks, they have a new phone. They've just, I mean, I've lost count the amount of Realme phones that have come out this year. So, Realme have launched two new phones in India, which is a very important smartphone market, as I've said before. There's a Realme C12 and C15. Now, if you just realized with C12, hang on a minute. Wait, there is a C11 in July. Hang on a minute. God, they're releasing phones so quickly. God damn it. I mean, can they just slow down? Honestly, I think it's just about competition. It's the fact that Realme is trying to beat knockout competitors left, right, down, center, wherever they are, wherever they may be, whichever store shelf they're pretty much on. Realme is trying to just knock them off by offering the latest smartphone, sort of. It doesn't even matter if the previous device that they offer is there or not. I mean, just in a few years, pretty much, we've had so many devices come out. When I say I've lost count, pretty much, let's see. If let's just assume that the first Realme phone was the 5i, for example. Hang on. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. God, they've released 25 phones this year. Including variants they've had in China. It's just incredible. I think it's the pace. They're just being fast-paced. Anywho's, so the Realme C12 and C15. Now, C15 is currently in India. Is pretty much available in India and then obviously in select markets like Indonesia. The C12, how I also remember is that it's because Realme in Pakistan. I mean, I live in Pakistan, so I follow the Pakistani page for Realme. They announced that they're launching the C12 too soon. That's going to be available in Pakistan. And I think it'll be around 18K-ish. The C12 in India costs about 20,000 Pakistani rupees, which is a lot of money. Let me just, for the rest of the world, let's just bring up. It's $120 out of the gate for the C12. It basically has, the C12 has a Helio G35 processor. Helio G series is just almost everywhere. No matter what smartphone brand you pick up, they probably have a variant with the Helio G series chip. It's quite popular. I mean, start with the Redmi's, and now it's barely a year, and it's now on every other major affordable phone. It has Realme UI 1.0 or Android 10, 6.5-inch HD Plus display, 20:9 aspect ratio. 3 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage, only 32 gigabytes. It really is a very, very cheap smartphone, for what it is. And you have three cameras, pretty much. That's interesting. Even on a $120 smartphone, you have three cameras: a 30-megapixel primary sensor with f/2.2 lens, with face detection autofocus. Not really a big deal. 2-megapixel monochrome sensor with f/2.4 lens, and a 2-megapixel sensor with f/2.4 macro lens. Which is interesting. And then you have 5-megapixel selfie camera. Not much of a selfie powerhouse. But the most interesting thing of the Realme C12 is the 6,000 mAh battery that it's touting. Obviously, 5,000, because, you know, 5,000 milliamps is a thing of the past. 6,000 is a big, big deal. It's just, you know, attention grabbing. You just gotta wow people away, you know. You can't do it any other way. You can just put some fancy schmancy specs. But obviously, when you pair it with the G35, this will get you through 2 days of use. Obviously, if you flick on super power saving mode, it said, according to this article from NDTV, you can go with super power saving mode on, you can go through 2.9 days of the phone's battery will last 2.9 days without requiring a charger, which is interesting. So as I said, this is obviously The C12 has a micro USB slot port, sorry. It has 4G on it. Well, obviously, it expected our phone at this price. It just has 32 gigabytes of storage, which really is wouldn't really get you that far, but it's that very pretty affordable. I mean, it's competing against the Redmi 9A and 9C, which, by the way, I highly recommend the 9A and 9C. Those are rock solid phones. The predecessors have been proven battery powerhouses, good affordable phones. MIUI 12 is probably just as good as Realme UI. Then there's the C15, which is sort of, the C12 is sort of bumped up version. So you get an ultra wide, you get a 8 megapixel ultra wide camera. You get four nice cameras. They're not going to beat the iPhone, really. That's the thing. It's almost the same, almost, pretty much. It says the storage, you get bigger, you get more storage, and you get fast charging. Hang on. Does this have fast charging? No, the C12 cuts out fast charging. The C15 has fast charging. And this phone will cost 10,000 rupees, pretty much. 10,000 Indian rupees, or 22,000 Pakistani rupees, or just 10, 20, but $10-$15 extra on top of the C12. Really, quite honestly, these are really cheap smartphones. I mean, if you're out on the market trying to get a whole lot for a whole less, I mean, and Realme is the only option, you probably go buy it. But really, at this price point, you have other good affordable options like the Redmi 9A and 9C. Those are highly recommended over the Realme. Realme is just pumping out phones, again, to get people to buy their phones when they go out to buy them online or physically in store. And they quickly are pushing out these devices. And really, the difference is ridiculous, pretty much. The C11, the C12, there's probably only one thing that they fixed. It feels like they're using the same parts and they're changing one out and popping one in. I mean, oh, it's really much better. Now it's 20% faster. So, I don't know, Realme is they're just releasing phones at such a dizzying rate. And whether that's a good thing or not, that's pretty much, depends on who you are. So, that's just my own opinion, frankly. So, just checked Realme Pakistan's page on social media. And the C12 is also coming to Pakistan, obviously, around the same time, sort of. It'll go on a flash sale for 20,000 rupees, which is still a lot of money. I'd still say you should probably get the Redmi 9A or 9C. It's probably going to be cheaper than the C12. It's going to go on a flash sale for 20,000 rupees. And its original price is 22,000, which is, I mean, it's almost, it's a tad bit more, obviously, but that's to account for taxes and stuff. It'll be available in Pakistan from September 22nd. No, sorry, August 22nd. My bad. August 22nd with a flash sale, so you'll be able to save 2,000 rupees off. And it'll be available offline and probably everywhere by September 3rd. As in India, across the border, pretty much. Let me bring this up here. Redmi C12 will be available August 31st. For the C12, offline sales will be available on August 31st, and the C15 will be available on September the 3rd, which is almost the same time as the C12 going for sale. Also, the C12 will go on a flash sale on August 24th, so you can get it, obviously you can get it at standard price through Realme's website and Flipkart, whereas for my folks in Pakistan, you have to go to saman.pk, Google it, pretty much. It's a famous YouTuber's online tech store, so you can go and get the Realme C12 for 2,000 less. Honestly, I'm a Xiaomi guy, so I'd recommend the Realme, hands down over Realme. Honestly, it's one of those brands that are just making phones left, right, up, down, center, just to get your attention, to lock you in and to get you to buy them. So this is just another high speed phone from Realme. Moving on, ZTE. This is a name you probably not that familiar with. But ZTE is about to release the Axon 20, the latest in its sort of main, sort of, I don't know if you call it flagship, but their main sort of device, their flagship, their main hallmark device that they pump out as ZTE. One powerful thing about the Axon 25G is not just being that it's finally a new ZTE phone after centuries, it's that it's going to be the first phone in the world to basically have an under-display selfie camera. What a time to be alive. So much innovation that's continuously coming out. The Axon 25G will be the first smartphone in the whole wide world to pack a under-display camera, front camera. Already we have under-display fingerprint sensors, and now selfie cameras will go under the screen pretty much, obviously using the same technology as how optical fingerprint sensors work, that sort of a, when the screen's not really on or it's there, it's just transmitting and you put your finger and it reads it right then, it gets to the screen pretty much, that layer sort of, and then the front selfie, I don't know what the implementation is, but they're stating that they'll do an event on September 1st. God, it's something about September. The iPhone's going to be coming out. The iPhone 12, I've heard, is only going to be out available in stores by October. So, and in September, pretty much, either they'll now do an event or they'll just show off a new iPad. That's what I've been hearing. August 1st, you get to hear a lot about the ZTE Axon 20. Yes, it'll be a 5G phone because everyone's doing a 5G phone. But it'll be the first, world's first pressure-sensitive display. This is basically ZTE showing off its flex. They're proud of what they've done, pretty much. World's first pressure-sensitive display, world's first naked eye 3D display smartphone. I think I remember that. And world's first foldable dual screen phone, obviously the one before the Microsoft Duo. I've heard of it. That phone though, that came in the US on AT&T. I mean, if you've most of you'll probably remember it if you were buying it. It was a few years ago. And let's see. So that's all that ZTE's been announced. They're gonna launch the Axon 25G and it'll be the first under display camera smartphone, something to be excited about after a long, long time. Phones are kind of getting boring, so you got to be excited. And the thing about under display selfie cameras is that it's not that hard, but it's quite challenging innovation to pull off. And all the big Chinese phone brands have, the big three pretty much, Xiaomi, Huawei, Oppo, have all been saying that they have figured out under display selfie cameras. Is just that it's hard because until display technology improves, it'll be hard to put a selfie camera under display. I think it was Oppo who have showed off a prototype of a under-display selfie camera. So it's basically the regular colorful display. When you open it, full wallpaper, full bezel-less display. When it's time to go to the camera app, it's completely back on the top. So it opens up the selfie camera. So that's kind of how it works. So that was a prototype, I think, that Oppo did in showing off their chops. So it's hard. It's quite difficult. It's gonna be a long while before everyone else comes out with a under-display selfie camera phone, but it's cool that ZTE is like being the first sort of. But hey, being the first doesn't necessarily mean you're the best. So it's just again one of those attention, just to make a wave sort of. And it's a full. Okay, and this update came showing the Axon 20 as it is fully wide body. Wow, end-to-end full bezel-less. And there's no pop-up camera. We'll wait till September 1st. It'll be interesting times ahead with this technology. It's one of those things that it could be done, it's fun, but it's hard, So it'll be a while, sort of, like foldables, like I've talked in previous episode or two. Foldable phones could be done, but they're very hard to pull off on an industrial scale. It's one thing to be the first to make something, and there's another to make it enough quantities to sell to potential people who would be like, I don't want to buy a full, I'd actually want to buy this kind of device. Yeah. So that's that. Let's go to Asus. Asus does make smartphones. People think they just make computers and routers, but no, they also make smartphones. They make two lines of smartphones every single year, the Zenfone series of phones and the ROG phone. Both phones are quite popular in various markets. It's quite popular in India also. It's got a fan following there. High-end phones for very less money. So affordable high-end phones. Asus is releasing the next generation of Zenfone devices. And it's going to be coming out next week because Asus sent an invite. Announcing that they're going to be announcing the new Zenfone 7 series on August 26th. That's going to be 2 p.m. Taiwan time. That's roughly 6 a.m. GMT. So if you do the math, 6 plus 5, that's 11 a.m. Pakistan time. Yikes. Yeah, that's a few hours behind. But the Zenfone 6 is quite was really cool because it was one of the first phone, it was pretty much the only phones that had this unique camera setup, full bezel-less display, but the back camera was on the motor. It pulls up the both cameras when you it's time to take a selfie. So that's pretty cool. There's not much that they've talked about the Zenfone 7, but some data have been claiming that the Zenfone 7 will have a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. Hang on, there was another one, yeah, okay. And this is another article, this came out today from Android Authority. Obviously, they're pulling off lots of teasers showing the Zenfone 7. It's going to be fully bezel-less, so that's pretty cool. What else? It's going to have the Snapdragon 865 Plus, or 865, hopefully. Oh, 865 Plus, sorry. 5,000 milliamp hour battery, 128 to 256 gigabytes of storage, and all this, and more, for, you guessed it, €500. Not bad, 500 starting for a Zen phone. That's really good. That's affordable. That's neck and neck with the OnePlus Nord with the 871 from Samsung, with the whatever Samsung's rolling out that price. This kind of rumor today came from Roland Quand on Twitter, and he stated that the Zenfone 7 will come with these specs. It was pretty cool, man. I mean, now I think I'm actually excited for the Zenfone 7. I mean, honestly, forgive me, really. Asus is not really one of the biggest brands out there, but they really, when they do make phones, they're quite exciting. They kind of pull some punches, really. Pack some punches, really. Mind my vocabulary here. Hopefully there's a headphone jack and stuff. Then something cool to, on top of high-end specs for very less money. So I'm definitely excited for the Zenfone 7. Not gonna lie. Quite excited. So that's the the Zenfone 7 will be showed off on August 26th. So definitely one to look out for. So yeah, moving on. Let's talk about MediaTek real quick. This year has been really good for them. Obviously, they really are the chipset maker that is really in a unique advantage. They're the ones bring all the big affordable chipsets to all the major phones, really, that need a cheap CPU, sort of, because now processors really don't matter. I mean, they're pumping out a lot of affordable chips. The Helio G series, the Dimensity series, they're pumping out lots of chips. And obviously all 5G capable out of the gate. Not all of them, really, but the Dimensity chips are supported 5G. They got a new one that they've announced, a Dimensity 800U processor. Earlier this year, they had the Dimensity 800, which is finally a mid-range affordable 5G processor. And now you have the 800U. Now let's get through what makes the 800U unique, really, compared to all the other Dimensity chips that MediaTek offer. First of all, is that now you can do dual SIM. Now you can run 5G on on dual SIM phones. Like you can have your two SIMs can now run on 5G. That's kind of a big deal. You couldn't do it on Dimensity 800, kind of how it is, like one is on 4G, one is on 5G. Not a problem really, but I mean, now that everyone has a 5G network, you gotta have two 5G chips to take advantage of all that juicy network speeds. The Dimensity 800U has four Cortex A76 cores and four Cortex 855 cores. Overall, the A76 cores have a clock speed of roughly 2.4 gigahertz on this chip compared to 2 gigahertz on the previous chipset. It has a Mali G57 MC3 GPU, which is apparently a bit of a downgrade compared to the Mali G57 MC4. God, that's quite complex already. It has an APU, so you could do all the AI action. You could run a 64 megapixel camera, obviously with its built-in ISP sort of, it could image signaling processor, or run two cameras that are 20 megapixel and 16 megapixel. It could do Bluetooth 5.1, not a big problem. UFS 2.2 storage, and yes, the chip will let you use a display at full HD plus resolution at 120 hertz refresh rate. This is not really a big deal, but this is kind of significant because it kind of means that phones, obviously if MediaTek chips can do it, smartphone makers, and if the costs are low enough to put these parts, they'll probably pack these kind of high-end, almost high-end specs. They're bringing it down to accessible. It's not really a low-end chipset. This is still a mid-range chipset, but again, some seriously good features that make such phones, you know, really affordable. So fun times from MediaTek, really. You'll see this chipset in phones later this year, and obviously starting early next year. I mean, it takes a long time for silicon to go from finally coming out of the labs to being available, and then manufacturers using it left, right, up, down, center on every other new phone, really. So it's gonna be a good while, a couple of months, hopefully. So that's that. And then, kind of, this is one little story. Quickly, gonna put this in. Chrome, your NVIDIA's GeForce Now is available on Chromebook. There's today a beta came out for GeForce Now on Chrome OS, so Chromebook owners can basically now use GeForce Now. And the way it's sort of, and how GeForce Now works kind of is that if you already bought games from different services, you can run it on NVIDIA's server, sort of, the games you have, which is interesting, and obviously you can get, it's a subscription, really, service. So, you can go check what GeForce Now is. It's a subscription service. Now you can run on Chromebooks, it's kind of awesome. There was Stadia already, and now there is GeForce Now. So good, more options, obviously, compared to, say, iOS, where you don't have any option for game streaming, and it's quite an awkward situation. And this is a good segue straight over to our kind of hot story that's been pretty much all this week. Epic Games, the publisher of Fortnite, the most popular game on Earth, pretty much, aside from PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds or the recent current hit, Fall Guys. If you've played Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, you definitely should. It's very fun. It's quite entertaining. The streams are fun. So what's kind of happened is that, let me kind of explain this here, is that I think it's been a week since this happened. Last week, Epic Games rolled out an update within Fortnite. When you go to buy V-Bucks, you have payment options normally, and you can buy the V-Bucks in Fortnite as in-app purchase. So you have to go. So basically, you bill it to your App Store, to your Apple ID or Google account, and whatever payment method you selected before. But what Epic Games have done is that they cut out the Play Store and App Store in the process and offered a direct method. So you can click right away, it'll take you to the payment gateway, you can buy your V-Bucks right away. And the best and the interesting part is that Epic Games offered a 20% discount on top of, so basically, basically tell people that you're saving money by paying Epic directly for V-Bucks. And so that really pissed Apple off ridiculously. And Google also, surprisingly. Both Google and Apple kicked off Fortnite from the App Store and the Google Play Store for violating both companies' policies, and that is offering alternate payment methods, especially in things like games and streamings. There's a unique background to this, and that is that Apple and Google's policies are such that, if you're, say, an online shopping or banking app, you can offer your own payment options or use your payment gateway, because that's like online shopping or banking. But if you're, say, a media app or streaming service, a subscription service, or a game, you have to use Apple or Google's payment system, and you're not allowed to use a third-party option. And that's because, and basically Google and Apple argue that you can run out and buy in-app purchases or subscriptions, and it'll be billed directly on one account instead of obviously getting having the company offer their own payments. Epic is really a big company, and for them, 30% cut, giving 30% off to Apple or Google is significant. It's basically hundreds of millions of dollars that they could do off. And so, by basically cutting out Apple and Google's payment option, Fortnite has been knocked off both storefronts. And Epic was well aware of this, and they basically launched a campaign, sort of. They obviously started a lawsuit against Apple and Google in California. It'll be interesting to see. Basically, Epic Games is suing Apple, which is interesting. This has never happened before. It's a unique precedent. And also, most people may not really realize, Apple is obviously under investigation in the U.S. for antitrust practices, for anti-competitive behavior. It's already under investigation in Europe for antitrust behavior. Basically, control it, sort of having a walled garden, and to top it off, they really are angry at Apple, and so much so that they've rolled out a little video called 1980 Fortnite. It's a little trailer that it's basically a copy of the 1984 famous Apple 1984 ad that came out long time ago, obviously showing Apple as the bad guy, and now. Obviously, Epic Games is suing Apple. It's going to be a big deal, really. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be the one to watch because, it's only a unique precedent because basically it's challenging Apple's ability to sort of control sort of their ecosystem and obviously control their, basically, whether they should give people choice. Epic Games will probably argue that they should have the right to offer their own payment options. Because if you go to a grocery store, you buy bananas, for example, you can pay from 5-6 different methods. Whereas in App Store, you have to pay through Apple, and they'll bill it. Now, this would be good, but if you're Epic Games, you need to offer your own option. So this is quite epic. I don't know why I said that. But this has become such an intense fight that Apple is removing Epic Games from its developer program. So it'll be unable to update its apps. It won't be able to do anything with the real. They won't be able to do much work on the real Unreal Engine, which is owned by Epic Games, obviously on Apple's devices. So this is quite significant, but obviously it's going to be a key story in the whole antitrust, the whole big tech antitrust drama that's going on in the U.S. It's going to be unique. We'll see. Epic's suing Apple. This is going to be interesting. I feel like Epic Games could win if they have a strong argument, really, if they could properly convince that Apple has a ridiculous monopoly on deciding, games or even payments or payment options or how apps should be. Apple would also argue security arguments, so this will be a good, interesting fight. It'll be a long fight. This comes hard on the heels of Microsoft claiming that they cannot offer xCloud, Project xCloud on iOS devices because Apple doesn't allow game streaming services. It's very ironic that Apple themselves have registered a patent for cloud gaming services. So it means that Apple is probably a potential competitor in this space, and they're blocking off potential competitors future competitors really for game streaming. But it's kind of unfair, kind of, because if you look at music and video streaming, if you go to the App Store, if you don't want to use Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, there are a lot of music and video streaming services that you can get. And some don't have to be integrated with Apple services, really. So this will be an interesting fight. It's quite a interesting feud, really. It's pretty epic. It's quite interesting times ahead, really. That was the whole podcast, really. I'm about to do something interesting. Next couple of weeks, you'll probably see, I'll try my best. Here's an interesting situation. If you live in Pakistan, for example, if you go out to buy a TV, you know it's hard to pick the right television, smart TV especially, because there's so many options. There's the fake variety, and then there's obviously big, big expensive brands, and then you want to get small TV. So I'm thinking of doing some sort of a whole episode in a few weeks' time where I kind of take two really affordable smart TVs and compare each other on their merits and see which is the best. And hopefully do a video on my YouTube channel for it. I mean, if you'd love to see it, let me know. Tweet at me. Send me a message on both Twitter and Instagram at Sayed_Mao99. So I'm definitely thinking of doing it. So that's the podcast. That's all we have time for. Hopefully upload another episode on Thursday. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it right now. If you're on Spotify, hit subscribe. Apple, you know what to do. Thanks for listening. Bye bye. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Ciao. It is what it is. Ciao.